I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. To become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, I think tonight's show will be jam-packed with information as usual. We'll be getting into the Poor Man's Guide to Creating Excellent Health. No doubt, covering some advanced yoga techniques. And as well, time permitting, we'll even get into some advanced alchemy. But before we get into all that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of Japa Yoga or mantra repetition. And that will be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Hari Om, Hari 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 Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari
Hari Hari Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Hari Om
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. And one of my spiritual teachers, that's a clip from back in the 1970s. And I'd like to now take this opportunity to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the benefits and information about the positive and most effective insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener of ET Yoga, you should also know that I certainly applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical and big pharma as much as humanly possible. And that's in an effort to create your own sovereignty concerning the creation of excellent health, and also maintaining it, and also in dealing with issues as they arise. And it's been my practice over the course of decades that the valid use I find for the medical system is in case of emergency only. At the top of the program, I mentioned that I wanted to share with you some suggestions concerning a poor man's guide to creating excellent health. And so kind of having in mind a budget like of under, well, let's say, a couple hundred dollars, these would be things that I would suggest. Clearly, the basics of excellent health, I think, were best articulated by Bashar. That's B-A-S-H-A-R. And the six basics that he mentions are pure water. And I would also encourage people to put something like an Andara crystal in their water supply. Also, oxygen, which is important for the body with respect to breathing exercises such as yoga pranayams. Also, exercise. Working on creating less stress in your life or dealing with some of the stress issues that you have in more creative ways. Detoxing, which, you know, back 40 years ago probably wasn't such a big deal, but it certainly is now with all the toxicities we have. And I'm going to make some suggestions about detoxing as well. And also working towards lightening up the diet, which means working toward a vegetarian or a vegan diet. And I would actually add a seventh one in there, which would be sunlight, because primary source of vitamin D comes from the sun, and it's also the trigger to the immune system. And with respect to this detoxing, for the poor man's guide, I would say buy yourself a couple pounds of bentonite clay, and should only cost about $20. And that's something that you just mix in a glass. I know I'll fill up the bottom half inch of a glass, say, with bentonite clay and leave it sit overnight, stir it up in the morning. And it doesn't taste too bad, doesn't taste too good, but it's excellent at sucking out metals from the body. I would also highly recommend that online you go to Green Pasture Fermented Skatefish Oil. That would be about $40. And Dr. Pete Peterson was on Project Camelot a few years back, stating that there had been studies after World War II on thousands of kids with respect to putting a drop of this skatefish oil on toast, and the kids had no cavities. It's also, at that time, he thought it was one of the highest antioxidants in the world and would be effective in terms of preventing heart disease. I'd also recommend that you get a hold of some Amrit Kalash. That's A-M-R-I-T-K-A-L-A-S-H. It would cost about $40. And that's an ancient Ayurvedic herbal preparation. Comes in kind of two forms. Comes in small pills as well as kind of it looks like jam. It tastes fabulous, and if you do any research on it, you'll find that it's just amazing. It has most of the effects that people rave about with carbon 60, only without any side issues. And also, researchers have shown that it's about 2,500 times more powerful than vitamin C and E. So you can only imagine. It's like putting yourself with a Star Wars deflective shield for your immune system. And I'd also recommend for $38, you could go to the American Botanical Pharmacy, that's Dr. Schultz, and buy some superfood. And that provides all the nutrients that your body would need. And as Bashar would state, the body's capable of curing 99.9% of disease issues if it's given the proper health foundation, as articulated previously, and if the body's provided with the proper nutrients. There's also some other things that I think you should try to do to the best of your ability. I know each of us is in a different situation financially, but you should try to buy organic food as much as possible. Should totally try to avoid GMO'd food. In my opinion, it's very harmful for your immune system and your body. And if possible, you want to get rid of and not drink tap water that contains fluoride. It not only calcifies the pineal gland, but also has other negative effects on the body. And also, do not be involved with vaccines. So those would be my guides towards poor man's budget, towards developing excellent health. And it doesn't cost anything to do sun gazing. And in my book, probably the two best things that somebody could do towards attaining perfect health would be Qigong, healing sounds, is taught by Master Ming Tong Gu, that's G-U, and sun gazing, as taught by Hira Ratan Manik, that's M-A-N-E-K. And sun gazing, if done properly, an hour after sunrise or an hour before sunset, and utilizing the methods as taught by Hira Ratan Manik, has amazing health benefits, as well as consciousness benefits. And if you want to tack on another $500 onto your only $200 bill, I highly recommend Egyptian healing rods. They cost about $300. And also from the American Botanical Pharmacy and Dr. Schultz, you can get these five-day detox programs for the colon, kidney, liver, and gallbladder. And those detox programs are excellent and were actually first recommended to me by Bashar and Daryl Anka. So those would be my guidelines towards the poor man's guide to developing excellent health. Now, I mentioned also at the top of the show that we'd be having some advanced yoga tonight. And I'm going to start with a quote from some of the greatest yogis, I guess, that would concur with what Muji says, that every sentient being is naturally conscious of its existence. Everyone knows and refers to themselves as I am. And when we say I am, it points to consciousness, to sentience. I am is the untaught way of self-knowledge. However, consciousness, due to the conditioning it has received, started identifying with the instrument through which it can taste its existence. Hence the idea, I am only the body and personality was born. It is a severe limitation upon one's being and the chief cause of suffering in this world. But each one has the potential inside themselves to discover their inherent freedom and escape this delusion. On a deeper level, this is really what motivates our existence. Unaware of the tremendous harmony that exists in the universe, the human race is restless. And this restlessness is actually a search for lasting satisfaction. As persons, we are compelled for a while to search for fulfillment in the fleeting objects of this world, which one time and are bound by time. But that essential itch is only alleviated once and for all when our personal identity is merged with our timeless being. And I think that's really a point at which, yoga really deviates from modern psychology, because modern psychology, to my way of thinking in a nutshell, tries to make a person with issues normal, and what advanced yoga does is try to make the person super normal, because it's actually a process of going back within. Our higher self kind of splits off a fraction of itself that we would experience as this incarnation, and since the time of Atlantis, we have not been conscious of our connection with higher self upon being reborn, and thus the challenge to reconnect with not only the awareness of higher self, but also becoming one with our higher selves. And to me, this is what a spiritual journey is all about. In fact, Ram Dass would say that the true baptism is when a person realizes that there are higher levels of consciousness and that you have the ability to attain them. That's the actual planting of the seed, or in spiritual terms, the real baptism. And so what we're talking about here is that if there's any aspect of you that identifies an identity other than higher self or other than just the awareness, I am, it's a place of being stuck. Even your relationship with a guru or a spiritual teacher, if you think you have some special relationship with the guru, in actuality you don't. It's still illusion. And it's still an identity, maybe a spiritual identity, but it's still ego-related. And as Bashar would say, there's only two objective facts in the universe. Well, number one, that the entire universe was created with unconditional love. And second, that you have awareness, and that I am awareness. That is the space or the point of awareness that you want to try to become more consistent with if you're looking towards becoming one with higher self. And as Bashar teaches, that the physical ego mind is trying to control life, which is the cause of most of our problems and stress, since higher mind controls life and ego only causes interference and resistance. And the ego is a cultural language based and basically a construct, a matrix of belief systems, MEMS, that one has chosen to buy into or believe strongly, which has convinced the physical mind that it is in charge of making things happen, when in fact it is the fifth dimensional higher mind's function. The ego is like a mask the physical mind wears. The ego is what one has been told one is, or more specifically, what one has chosen to believe one is. In other words, the ego is a construct or mind entity that emotionally attaches itself to ideas, creating an unreal identity, thus distancing itself further from the here and now, thus getting lost in the world of 4D manifestation and rarely receptive to the 5D world of the higher mind that transmits information to the 4D physical mind in the form we call imagination. When giving up ego resistance, thus surrendering to the natural self, one experiences automatic synchronicity to a degree beyond that which the physical mind is capable of imagining. And I sometimes use the expression that this concept is kind of like if you're going to miss out on this concept, it's kind of like being in a round room and somebody tells you to go sit in the corner. It just can't be done. And I also appreciate the fact that the mind is kind of like a bunch of woven thread. Like when you pull out all the threads, there's really nothing left, although you don't lose your physical identity. And Bashar also uses the chess game analogy, that the higher mind is analogous to the player, and the template level reality is analogous to the chessboard. The collective automatic mind is analogous to the general rules of the game, and the individual automatic mind is analogous to the individual rules of the chess pieces. And the physical mind is analogous to the point of view and behavior that involves the chess pieces. But the physical mind's ego construct is analogous to unnecessary handicaps placed on the chess piece to the point that it believes it is the player and thus has to win the game or make things happen on its own. As the ego develops in the physical mind, natural synchronicity becomes infrequent. The brain is the receiver of higher frequency energy transmitted or radiated from the fifth dimension higher mind, which is electrochemically translated into the perception that the physical mind experiences, but first filtered through the belief system of the ego personality construct of the physical mind. Beliefs and definitions literally change the neurological pathways of the brain. The resonance of the beliefs and definitions, the meaning that is being assigned, for example, the energy you are putting out is what determines what fifth dimensional, not fourth dimensional reality elements will be reflected back by the higher mind mirror. So I think this is really, the crux of the point of tonight's program. And Muji, who you can find on YouTube, I think he's really excellent in terms of some of his satsangs that are on video. He's really good with constantly bringing people to this realization. And further to the point, the imagination is a very powerful tool that can be used individually and collectively. It is the conduit between the higher mind and the physical mind, the pipeline through which your higher mind communicates to you, giving you ways to increase your excitement, passion, and living. If you're willing to use your imagination without filtering it through a lens of fear, then you will find that the outcome will always be a positive one that you will amplify in any area of your life. Higher mind has a vast view and can see all the possible options that are before you in life, and because of this, it can guide you toward the option that is most you, that is the one that creates the least resistance. Your physical mind can apply this higher mind ideas and bring you into wholeness when the two minds are working in tandem. The physical mind is not designed to know how things should happen. That's the job of the higher mind. If the physical mind tries to take on the job of figuring out how, it will be burdened and weighed down and tired because it is not designed for that. When you follow your passion, the how is taken care of because the higher mind can see the best way for you to get where you want to be. The transition of that how through the imagination is the physical sensation of excitement, joy, passion, and love. And I really like Bishar's way of explaining this concept. Definitely think people need to spend a little bit more time with practicing their imagination. And from the To Know Yourself, the Essential Teachings of Swami Satchidananda, he states that what's the difference between the big eye and the little eye? Just the dot, a speck you have put there. That little speck is the egoistic eye. Erase it and you are big again. If you want to get rid of that selfish ego, just keep repeating its name slowly. Ego, ego, ego. Note that the clue is in the name itself, go. Some riddles have their solution in the riddle itself. People tend to look elsewhere to solve problems when the answer is already here. Live in the golden present. A little free will has been given you just so you can use it to give it back again. If you submit yourself to that higher will, the little ego dies. Then even your body and face will change. The body is the development of the ego. Mind creates its own body. That's why when the mind changes, the body changes. Every thought creates a change in your face. All body chemistry is affected by your thoughts. If you are angry, the bile flows and the face becomes red. That's why you don't actually have to see somebody act to know what he does. The moment you see a thief, you can say, ah, look, he's a crook. His crooked ideas are expressed through his body. In the same way, beautiful, innocent, egoless thoughts make the face as pure as a little baby's. We're all born with that beautiful face. Let us regain it by refusing to obey the selfish ego. Sometimes you have to be angry with your ego, refuse to obey such a boss. Just say, I can't work for you, because egoistic action will not bring real joy. It may give you joy temporarily, but it always brings even more problems later. If you analyze, egoistic desires will go away. Keep on analyzing. Is it worth satisfying the ego? How long can you do it? It always demands more and more. Where's the end? And meanwhile, you must constantly be alert, watching for tension and anxiety. If you just ignore the ego and lead a simple childlike life, you won't have to worry about ego. Why worry what others say of you? You should know who you are. One man might say you are a scoundrel. That is the way he sees you. If he says you are always a wonderful person, will that make it so? If he says you are a rascal, will you be that? Should somebody else tell you who you are? Don't worry what others say. That's how I'm saved from my ego, says Swami Satchidananda. Some people say, you are a great and wonderful Swami. Probably they have nice eyes. It's their opinion. I should know who I am. Other people say, you are a rogue exploiting the world. That's the way they think. They should have that freedom to think that, and sometimes say it. If I don't know me, I might accept what they say. But I know me, so I don't need to worry about what others say. If you know yourself, you're free from this bother. There's no room for an ego that is easily infatuated by others' praise and affected by others' blame. Would you like to lose some weight? People are usually so worried about reducing their physical weight, yet how much lighter and freer they would be if they reduced their egoistic weight. To weigh the ego, just take a long piece of paper and a pencil and list all that you call yours. Your name, your fame, your position, your power, your brain, everything. If your list is long, you really carry a heavy load. The less weight you bear, the freer you are. Suppose I write very little and I have only one pen. That's enough for me. But if I'm going to have 10 pens and use only one, then I'm practically stealing the use of 9 pens, which could be in different people's hands. There's plenty in the world if only we care and share. There's nothing missing in the world because it's nature's duty to give us all we really need. What nature will not do is fulfill our greed. Therefore, detach yourself. That doesn't mean running away from the world or doing no good for the world. On the contrary, by detachment, you will become one of the people best able to do something for the world. Imagine if all the leaders would develop a spirit of service and detachment. The world would be heaven. The world is for our enjoyment. We want to make use of everything. If we know how to use everything in the proper light and attitude, then everything will bring us health, happiness, and joy. Know that you're going to control your ego. Then you'll enjoy even the difficulties and the failures. After the struggle, you'll no doubt have defeated the demon. And that's from To Know Yourself, The Essential Teachings of Sri Swami Satchidananda. You know, he's got some really excellent ideas, and definitely worth listening to some of those ideas. This week I kind of had a thought as well that I wrote down, that on this planet, which is a prison planet, and an insane asylum, run by malevolent ETs and AI, which by our standards, these people are psychopaths, but isn't it ironic that you can find heaven on earth? And to me, this is kind of like the ultimate paradox. It's all a question of where you put your focus, and on a spiritual journey, working toward this place of just the I am awareness. And to my way of thinking, that creates the condition that will lead towards the self-realization. And in creating that condition, no doubt at some point there would be a grace factor. But this surrendering of ego is huge. And no doubt the final stage of the process of becoming one with higher self. And I also really like Bashar's idea about using your excitement and your joy as a compass towards pointing you towards what your higher self would want you to be doing. Because anytime you're following your joy and your excitement, you're following the compass of higher self. And I think when you're in the practice of doing that, you get more and more those flashes of creativity and insight from your imagination. And as I brought up on the ET Yoga program last program, to my way of thinking, creative intelligence is the ability to be more and more connected with that creative thinking of the higher self. And as Bashar would say, the rational thinking mind isn't even capable of coming up with one creative thought. It perceives how things have happened in past tense, and it may try to figure out how those things have happened. But if you're doing reality creation, one of the big tips clearly in the process is that when you're working on manifestation, you only bring up the what. You leave the how to the higher mind. It's not up to our rational thinking mind to figure out the what, because we're not even capable of doing that. And speaking of the of higher mind, or if you like, even the concept of advanced alchemy. I think that it's interesting, the quote that I gave on one of the more recent programs by Dennis William Hauck, and that's H-A-U-C-K, and he talked about advanced alchemy, that the goal of alchemy, as described by the masters, is to reach a state of consciousness that allows you to penetrate the mysteries. In other words, to become aware that thought becomes reality. that you can project your own reality, or you can become part of the experiment and change the experiment. So I like to say that if you're a longtime listener of ET Yoga, then you've been learning advanced alchemy for a lot of years. And specifically, as this applies to what I call three levels of reality creation. And these are also associated to the healing concepts, because the more you know about how the world works, the more you know about how the human body works. So, and now moving on to a little bit of what I call advanced alchemy, or the three levels of reality creation. The first concept that you need to understand is that it's your emotions, your intentions, your definitions, your beliefs that create the outer world that you experience. And the outer world is a perfect match for that. The fact is that you can't even experience anything in the third dimension unless you're a frequency match for that concept. So this is the fundamental principle. And it's also a very critical principle in terms of making a transition from 3D to 5D. And the big thing going on in the world right now is that the Earth is moving and transitioning up into the fifth dimensional level. And a significant amount of the population will also be transitioning with 5D Earth to 5D or higher. And in this process, this concept is critical, because if you think that everything is just happening at random and there's no rhyme or reason to it, then you're basically stuck in third dimension. And I can see why a lot of people would actually not be able to grasp this concept, because it's taking responsibility. You want to be able to take 100% responsibility for the outer world that you are creating, because if you look back at this lifetime, let's say after this lifetime, you'll see that you created everything that you experienced. And so there's no point blaming somebody else for anything that's going on in your life. You're a co-creator of everything that you experience. And it's not that you're to blame either. That's just another form of victimhood. But if you become aware of things that you are creating that you don't prefer, then the idea is to change your beliefs so you change the outer reflection. And that takes some inner work. So what I call the first level of reality creation is to find out what you do believe. And when you make a list and you start covering some areas, like what do you believe about money? What do you believe about finance? What do you believe about philosophy? Or what do you believe about spirituality? List all the things that you would care to do your inventory on. And what you're going to find is that from the first 6-7 years of your life, you were downloading beliefs from your initial caregivers. So you should give a lot of great thanks, appreciation, and gratitude to your initial caregivers for doing the best that they could to give you a leg up on life and to teach you as best they knew. But it's also your responsibility as a maturing person to disregard those beliefs that no longer serve you. And as time goes on, more and more knowledge becomes available, and we start to learn that some of these previous beliefs may not have been to our benefit. So this is the first level of reality creation, because belief or thought creates. And as Greg Braden has so appropriately pointed out, it's the combination of emotion and thought that creates a feeling. And it's that feeling that we emit outwardly that attracts us to the holographic experiences that some people call the morphogenetic effect. And this is all comes back to the heart center, because the heart is 5,000 times magnetically stronger than the brain. And this energy can be measured by magnetometers to exist as it extends from the body. And we are electromagnetic chemical beings. And it is these heartfelt feelings that are the major contributor to what we attract from the outside. And if you want to experience something, you have to become a frequency match for it. So this is something in terms of the first stage of reality creation that you need to become aware of, because it's your beliefs, your definitions, your emotions, and intentions that are creating your outer world. In fact, one of the more prominent quantum physicists in the world recently came up with the discovery that your intentions can affect future probable circumstance, and that's science now. So it's all it's doing. The more science, the farther science gets, the farther it starts to confirm some of these concepts that I've been bringing up on ET Yoga for over 10 years now. And not all these ideas were just mine, but definitely some of the ideas were. And the second level of reality creation, I think, is based on the principle that nothing in this world comes with built-in meanings. No circumstance comes with built-in meanings. The same exact circumstance can be a pleasure to one person and a displeasure to another, just like your choice of food. Both people can eat the same thing, and one does almost vomits, and the other one enjoys it. Like, there's no such thing as a circumstance with a built-in meaning. In fact, I like to think of it like a coin. You can't have a coin unless it has two sides, positive and negative, and similarly, you can't have an event unless there's two sides to it. And the idea here would be to try to put as much positive experience in your life as possible. And the way to do that is once you realize that outer events, see, people assume that that outer events are come with built-in meaning. So when something happens, oh, isn't that bad? Well, maybe it's not bad. And if you don't react in the same way that the average person would react, then they think that, you know, you got a screw loose, but so what? It's the same thing with this whole idea about taking responsibility. The average person doesn't want to take responsibility. The doctor's responsible for their health, the dentist for their teeth, the school system for their children's education, the church for their religious life. Everybody else is responsible except for them. In point of fact, this is just giving away your power all over the place, and to the point where people don't want to take responsibility for anything. You know, as long as the doctor says, then, you know, then something goes wrong. Well, it was the doctor that said it, wasn't you. And this is really one of these myths we have in our society that I think is really, really bothersome. Just not correct. Similarly, the concept that we have that because somebody, you know, studied a subject like medicine for 6 or 7 years, that all of a sudden that they're an expert on how the body works. No, it's not so. They took courses that and basically regurgitated information that was given to them, and then they espouse that information, thinking that it's the best maybe that they know, but doesn't mean that an individual knowing the truth can't have more insight than they do specifically in certain areas. In fact, I'd even go so far as to say that sometimes the more educated people are so brainwashed into the system and have committed so much effort and money and debt into their achieving of some identity that that are actually they're very poor at being creative thinkers and discerning truth. So that's just an opinion. But lest I digress, getting into the second level of reality creation, the idea here is that since outer circumstances don't come with built-in meaning, the idea is to place a positive spin on outer circumstances, thus creating a positive experience. And this was one of Bashar's ideas. And I find it really valuable because the formula is quite simple. If you place a positive definition and a positive emotional spin on an outer circumstance, in time, that circumstance will turn out to have a positive experience. If you place a negative definition and a negative emotional spin on an outer circumstance, you'll have a negative experience. It's a very simple concept, but I challenge people to get a book or a notebook and log down your experiences by experimenting with this simple concept. Because once you get it, it'll blow your mind because it actually works. And this is what people, they just don't get. Of course, some situations, if you think about it, will take longer to resolve than others. Sometimes you'll see the effects of these inside of the first few days. Some issues might take a little bit longer, depending on what that circumstance is. And clearly in the health field, the first thing I would always recommend to anyone is that rather than get scared about somebody else's diagnosis, even if their diagnosis is correct, you need to put a positive spin on it because you'll eventually create a positive experience. Very important concept. And also in terms of your daily life, what you're going to see is that you're actually changing some events into amazingly mind-blowing positive reality creation. If you do this and practice it, you'll get it in time. And so that's the tip that I can't tell you how many people they do write in to me and mention that they've had some success with this concept. And by the way, you can always email me at paperfungo, PAPERFUNGO, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And nothing makes my week more than hearing about your successes utilizing techniques and ideas that you've heard on ET Yoga. And so thus, what I call the second level of reality creation is placing positive spin on outer circumstance. And, you know, like there's these people that spend their time going to these to get a psychic reading or something. Well, I can see some benefit in doing past life regression, you know, if people that are interested in their previous incarnations and where their soul family is, because the first planet that you incarnate on in this universe is your star family planet. And so I can see some benefit in that. But these people that go to psychics to find out what's going to happen to them, or are they going to be rich, or, you know, are they going to find a new lover, all this kind of stuff. And, like, to me, this is just a waste of time. Like, going to tell me what? It's not about what happens to you in life. It's about how you react to what happens to you. And the rest of it, to my personal opinion, is it's just a waste of time. Not interested. I've had some people, you know, try to push some of their ideas that way in my direction, and I just tell them, you know, back in the day I used to be interested in that kind of thing, but I'm not interested anymore. So I'm not interested in your prognosis about my future circumstances. I'm more interested in my spiritual journey and how I handle things that I'm dealing with. But more importantly, I think with respect to reality creation, what's important about reality creation is why I do it in the first place. Because if you're not creating your outer experiences, trust me on this one, somebody else is. And this is what part and parcel of what television is all about. It's about channeling your focus, and which then channels your perception, and then they give a spin on what you were perceiving, and thus it becomes, aside from the subliminal aspect of it, it's a big brainwashing tool. And that's why the Palladians have recommended for since back in the 1970s that you get rid of your TV. I did. I'm glad I did. It's called Get a Life. You think about how much time and effort people sit in front of the little box watching this garbage and being brainwashed at the same time. sorry, it's not in my agenda. Now, tonight's ticking along, so we're not going to be able to get too far into depth into the third level of reality creation, but it basically is involving not that you're dealing with a circumstance that's happening already, but it's about creating a circumstance that you're creating. And it's a little trickier, but the key element here is giving thanks, gratitude, and appreciation for having already received what it is you're trying to create, and creating the emotion with the thought to create the feeling, and then becoming that match for that feeling, which will create its frequency match in the universe, and then the universe has no choice but to reflect that back in your outer world. That's the key. If you want a physical example of how that's done, go to Greg Braden, Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes. And there's three practitioners over in Beijing, China, that deal with a lady from the U.S. who has an inoperable tumor, and they make the tumor dissolve in 3 minutes, just to show you that it's possible. And that's not why they do it, just to show you that it's possible, but it will show you that it's possible. And it also shows you the concept. And Greg Braden did some further study, and apparently in the Lost Gospel of Thomas, this technology or this process was actually articulated in the Lost Gospel of Thomas and subsequently was deleted from the modern versions of that that are available to us. So this was an important principle that was deleted and taken out of information that was intended for us to know about. And that's why I believe that the some of these Asian schools of dealing with health are so much they're just far superior to the Western world. And I'd also like to take this opportunity to wish my listening audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And in closing the program tonight, I'd like to share with you the Who Am I technique as taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi, called the Vichara, V-I-C-H-A-R-A, where you place your full attention in the center of your forehead and become that spot. And then the idea here is to ask the question, who am I? Because I is the first thought to appear and the last to disappear. And this can be a very powerful technique. If you get to the highest place you know how to get to before you start doing the technique, and then when you're getting to the highest place you know how to get to, then put your full attention in the center of your forehead, become that spot, and then state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.